Table Talk is not your typical D&D TTRPG podcast. We are not here to run you through our whole campaign.
We're here to talk about everything else in the space of Table Talk roleplay.
I'm your host, Alejandra Wilhelm.
And I'm also your host, Mariah Gresham.
And we're your tabletop roleplay girlies.
And we are live with another episode of Table Talk. Thank you so much for joining us. We have a really exciting guest episode again, and I'll happily segue over to our guest. Give us a little intro about you, where people can find you, and especially what you're doing right now on the internet.
What's good, y'all? It's Malumbo. It's good. I am here to talk about Zyru, the Pan-African fantasy, and whatever other tangent we end up having. You can follow me on all my socials at Hey Malumbo. You feel that energy? Hey _ Malumbo. Okay, let's go.
Incredible. Yeah, no.
Fantastic.
The speed at which you came on to Mariah's For You page, and she was like, I was like,
we manifested this house. I was like, this would be fun. It would be nice.
Yeah, no, having conversations with people is dummy fun. I'm a socialite. Absolutely. Let's get it.
Heck yeah. Well, tell us a little bit about Zyru.
Zyru is the manifestations of decades of just, childhood imagination that I finally want to bring to life, and thanks to a bastion of talented people hearing the call, like, it's actually like fucking happening, like, it's lit. They said I could curse, so I just thought that was an appropriate time. I'm strategic with my cursing, but yeah. Zyru is a pan-African fantasy setting that we're starting right off right now with making a handbook to a tabletop RPG, and hopefully with everybody's ideas coming together, like, it could be books, it could be video games, it could be movies, it could be TV. I've said it in the videos, but this has the potential to be something much more.
100%.
So yeah, right now we're starting off with the, so right now we've gathered the team in terms of making a handbook, crafting the lore Bible, which in the few weeks that I've announced it, it's looking at almost over 100 pages. I'm just like, damn. But it's just, but the goal of this project is really just to have so much of fantasy today, even when it considers itself different, is very Eurocentric. The newest Final Fantasy game is the perfect example of that. To me, the false advertisement of a different Final Fantasy game when it's the same Knights and Dragons I've played since it came out.
You're doing. You're a consistent brand. Just be a consistent brand. Like, don't be something you're not. Just be honest. Say it with your whole chest.
Yeah. And like, they sprinkle a little Game of Thrones, just like, whatever. I'm like, oh, family dramas. Everything. When you put family drama in a fantasy setting, it's suddenly Game of Thrones inspired. People forget about Dracula. Like, we've always had romance and fantasy. But whatever my pitter patter. A lot of fantasy is steeped into Eurocentric ideas, and an equivalency is few and far between, and especially an Afrocentric, what would be called in the modern context that is a little bit more holistic outside of Afrocentrism is Pan-Africanism. The idea of the Black diaspora, the Americas and Europe, the Caribbean, North, West, East, and South Africa. Extra emphasis on the North, because Afrocentrism doesn't include that, which is why Pan-Africanism is such an important concept. And being able to put that into a fantasy format, because that's just so fun. Instead of being stratified into just a certain area, Eurocentric fantasy doesn't do that. Lord of the Rings doesn't. Baldur's Gate has ghouls. Ghouls are Arabic. But because of this Eurocentrism, they're just allowed to pull everything. Why can't you do that from a Pan-African lens? That's fun. That makes it so much. That makes it just a fun world to explore, and then it becomes a vehicle for people to understand what Pan-Africanism is. And understand the links between all these cultures, because there is a third line between all of us. Like, I'd say the biggest one in the modern context is colonialism, and what is the strength that comes from that? The setting is set in the 16th, 17th century, so a little bit Renaissance era, but like really right before, if not during that real colonialism boom. So I just think it'd be nice to have a different option of seeing that time period as a person of color.
Yeah,
100%. Like please, this is a rant-friendly space. This entire brand has been built on rants and chicanery.
This is a safe space to go on a tangent.
Get home here. But yeah, when I first saw, I guess, I think it was your TikTok, preaching the concept out and sort of putting out that call to get other creators to come in, of what really hit me as a writer and as someone who thinks a lot, who reads a fuck ton of books and like sees so much consistency in the very Eurocentric way we ascribe to fantasy of like white dude in armor with a sword and probably a dragon, which is fine and well, but there's so much more interesting things we can do if we change the lens entirely and we don't treat the diversity as just tokenism. And so, yeah, the prospect of being like, okay, we're just making a whole new board. We're doing a whole different thing that's over here. And we're not, it is its own interesting thing that we're building from the ground up was very, very fucking cool to me.
It's also something completely interesting and different whenever you see things like that are developed from the lens of the people whose culture
it is
based in, because it is an entirely different thing. Yeah, it's an entirely different thing.
You know it's going to be realistic.
You know it's going to be realistic and it's going to be done well and in a tasteful way and not just like, oh, I liked this one little concept of a random fantasy creature, but I'm not going to dig too deep into whatever else has to do with it. I'm just going to snap that and place it in the thing that works for me. And especially in the TTRPG space, starting to become a lot more like diversified in both like women, people of color, and like there's shows now like DesiQuest, which have sent me on a complete spiral of I just love playing in those, like seeing those spaces done by the people whose culture it comes from and it being done well, especially. And being appreciated by the community is so just like, it's good fucking food.
I wholeheartedly agree. And this is not me coming from like some sort of corner of like ignorance. Like I don't know what Wagadu is, which I've gotten plenty of comments, even though in the initial video I mentioned Wagadu. Wagadu has a strict West African setting. I'm expanding on that. But there is a place for Wagadu, just like there's a place for a Beowulf type setting that's only Norse. Like there is, like
that
you can they have things to localize it. But I'm saying I want something grander. We've been stripped for this idea for too long. I feel like I've been thinking of Zyru since I was 12 or 13 years old when my dad would tell me folk tales when I was a child. I'm like, and I'll tell it to the kids at school and they look at me crazy. I'm like, Wait. He's like, you haven't heard of the Grootsling? I know I'm fucking up this pronunciation. I'm the first American in my, people listening, I'm the first American in my family. Both of my parents are from Kinshasa, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. First Americans, I was born in Dallas, Texas, grew up in Colorado. I am current, present, past, future, whatever, skater kid. So like, if you're a smart guy, look through the lens of materialism. There is a reason I sound like this.
100%. No, I feel you. Like my entire family we're all from Venezuela, but I came here when I was very young. So even the younger, like my younger cousin got to grow up more in Venezuela than I ever did because he came here when he was older. And so amongst my family, I am the Americanized like child. And I still have a lot of appreciation for our culture because we did keep that in our house and our language and all of that stuff. But there's very much like that level of difference of like, I understand that I had to grow up different than the rest of my family did. And I like have a little distance in that like cultural net that they have, but it's still, there's a lot of love and appreciation for that. But I sound like a white girl and I'm very incognito and I get that.
Exactly. You're sneaky.
Very much. Very much.
There's some flavor in there. There's some flavor in there. We can squint. We can, if you squint.
If you squint, yeah. It's certainly very funny with like Ollie and his friendships because Ollie was introduced to me. It is pronounced as Ollie because Alejandra. So I call her Ollie. Now, other people who like knew her previously at Lanham will call her Allie. And I've had more than one moment where someone has referred to her as Allie and she's responded. And I've had a moment where I'm like, who the fuck is Allie? Who are we talking to? Who's that white bitch? And yeah. I'm like, oh no, that is just what you, yeah. I'm like, I see how we got here, but it rocks me regularly because I'm like, what do you mean?
Just the things you have to do to make it easier for other people.
Nicknames are weird. I definitely feel that. What do people call you, Mariah? What's your nicknames?
Ooh, Mariah is kind of a hard one to shorten.
Mary?
Maya?
She made a face.
That was right. No way. Yeah. Maya was like my mom still calls me that some, or like my first name is Caitlin, so she'll sometimes call me Katie.
And Miguel. Brothers and sisters. I'm sorry. And best friends as well. Yeah, I'm sorry. That intro. There's certain children's theme songs that just go.
They stay with you forever.
For no reason.
No reason.
Like, have you seen
the adults?
What? Like, there's this one, it's called Liberty Kids. That intro, it has, I think it's like Aaron Carter. It's Aaron Carter on the opening theme song of this, like, Revolutionary War, like, kids show. And he's spitting. I'm just like, why is this patriotic rap song by Aaron Carter kind of hard?
Yeah. why did they let that white man out here like that?
Oh, no, you're good. I fully have a song from, like, the new Tangled Kids show just in one of my D&D, like, playlists.
Yeah, same. Ollie sent it to me, and I'm like, well, I'm making a playlist, and it fits the lore, so I'm like, I'm so sorry, this is here now. I do the same thing with, like, musicals, though, and then I have to, like, usually remove them because they lead me into the wrong story. But, yeah, no, so, like, the most consistent was probably Maya or Katie.
Mm. Which, no.
No one has ever called me Katie but my mom on occasion.
Quick question.
Also, so, like, apparently I sounded like a sheep when I cried when I was a baby. So my uncle will call me Ma, like a sheep, like the sheep noise.
Mm.
That's about it. Like, there's not a consistent one that I like gets used a ton. Okay,
so
what's your
question? Quick question. So in terms of like the creatures that I've dropped so far for the series, which I am definitely dropping more videos. I had these applications. It's just been a pain in the ass, like over 100 applications. I've never done hiring. But out of all the creatures and stuff, what do you think the creatures, the world or setting, I guess what jumped out of you that you said you're a writer, Mariah, I guess what jumped out of you from a creative standpoint, all 100, the same question. Like, that's always like interesting to hear everybody who has a different side, you know?
For me, as kind of said earlier, it was the 20,000 foot view of the concept as a whole. Of it's like, we're doing something fundamentally new and fresh that feels like it has bite and has room to run that hasn't been rinsed and repeated over and over and over, because that's something I think about a lot in my own writing. And like, it's that stereotype of like, and like, yes, if you read one book and you like it, sometimes you want to read six more books, it's the same thing. But like, there's a lot of books with like the shadow daddies that control, and like, we love that, there's a place for that. But also, if you don't want to keep just contributing the same thing that it feels like everyone else is doing, it's really, really interesting to see people that are wiping the table and be like, okay, no, we're doing a completely different thing. That's really compelling to me.
I remember Alejandra had a, thank you, Mariah. I remember Alejandra had a point in terms of it doing done well. What aspect of it do you feel like it's done well? The aesthetic of it, the folks of creature, the like what the edginess or some sort of it? What is it to you?
I think in the terms of the stuff that I've seen of how you pitch it, I think what grabbed me in particular was watching your breakdowns of like your takes on the classes and like the different names and the different, like the barbarian one that you have, that like they're driven by courage. And like they have the bravery dice that increases. And I was like, you know, like I have a soft spot for barbarians because that was like one of the first classes that I played. But like watching that breakdown and like the way you've differentiated it from what we know in like traditional D&D and adapted it like to the culture that it's based off of is very, very interesting to me. And it's just like nice to like hear someone talk about something like that and learn. And
yeah,
like I just love that. And I'm like, I want to play it so fast.
Same.
Yeah. It feels like a genuine kind of on ramp to learn more about Pan-Africanism and the different cultures and the folklore and the mythology and like all of that, which is really, really cool. Because it is in a very approachable, again, like TTRPGs are expanding so rapidly and the industry is growing so rapidly. And so it's cool to see the like such a different voice come in for something that we really need to know more about. And it's like, oh, that's such a good on-ramp for so many people to just learn more and then go through their life with more knowledge and a more holistic, complex view of the world, which is always great.
Very fine.
It's like a little sociological study in a game form.
Yeah, no, that was pretty much like, yeah, exactly. My undergrad degree was like sociology, so I still have like
that a makes sense.
I love people.
I was psychology, if that is written on my forehead, neon.
Yeah, hence my 20 question psychoanalyzing. I was like, what is the interest?
Yeah, I was like, you got something. It's sociology or anthropology. I don't know which one, but I'm like, I'll narrow it down.
Let's go.
No, yeah. It's been, like Mariah said, it's been very refreshing to see, and like that same lens of, you know, it has that same bite to it like any other TTRPG that you start to learn about that's like a new system and you're just like, oh, I want to get like knee deep in that right now.
Yeah. I guess what do you guys feel like is overdone in terms of like RPGs today? I appreciate the love and shout out. People are listening, like, damn, like, stop glazing him. Shut up. Don't stop talking.
We're here because I'm like, we already know like he's the thing.
Listen, yeah, if you think we invite people on here that we don't like immediately latch onto their content, you're wrong.
That is just a bad episode. We're like dissociating, and that's not fun to watch. We only invite people we enjoy. It's for the good of everyone. That's a good question. Okay, I'll stop stalling. What do we think is overdone in TTRPGs? I'm trying to come up with a good answer and not just shoot off the mouth.
Wizards look like Gandalf.
There's a one font and it's Merlin, apparently. I think as far as like TTRPGs, I think and we're starting to get more into it. And again, this can be just a selfish motivator because I'm more of a roleplay girly than anything else. But they're starting to veer off of the kind of clunkier, more crunchy combats and developing combats that are more dynamic and more interesting and more like narratively driven, which I really enjoy because I think that's also come from as a side effect of the game space becoming a little bit more diversified. So the needs and wants of the demographics that are playing are different. But definitely, I think, the crunchiness of the mechanics and combat and not having enough tools for everything else that happens at that game is like the little bit that I felt was overdone. And I'm starting to see a bit of shift, especially in like the newer stuff that's starting to come out.
Okay.
Yeah.
I appreciate the in-depthness.
That's true. That's true for me as
well. You're like taking notes. You're like, okay.
For sure. I have other games. I have like Blades in the Dark, and I'm like waiting with, you know, gnawing at the bars of my enclosure for the Magnus Archives. Like, take a drink for every time I've mentioned that on the podcast, and you would black out. The second I get that in my grubby little hands, it will be my entire personality. But the game I exclusively run is Vampire the Masquerade, and I like stories in general where the player characters aren't set up to be heroes. And it's a little bit darker and it's a little bit more interesting, or it allows more space to be more indicative of like how the world is or how human experience is, and like giving space to look at that through the safety of a game within reason, with it, you know, post line and veil conversations and with the consent of everyone that's at the table. But I think there's a place for it. It's fun. There's a fun aspect of D&D where it's like you are sort of set up to be the hero, and to as you level, you effectively are a demigod. And I like that that's not true in other systems like VTM or something where it's like, yeah, compared to a human, you have a lot of power. But the people who are demigod powerful are the people I'm rolling for, that you're going against. It's like, it's not just like, oh, we reach a certain level and we can just smash and grab our way through it. Like, not at all. So I like, it's similar to Alia. Like, it's, I've found, like, as I've gotten into running my own games, I've just found other systems that sort of scratch that itch for me. And I think it's, again, as we're sort of figuring out the different stories we want to tell, people are coming up with games that allow that more. But yeah, I do really enjoy things that are basically just improv, or like a box game, or I'm like, wow, I should probably just do improv, huh? Like, that's what we're doing.
Basically, cool. Yeah. That's cool. And then in general, I think, like, D&D as a whole, like, I think most of the community can agree. It's like, yes, it's kind of like the common gateway for most people, but it's also not super easy to pick up for like a newbie. And, you know, you got to have a very specific table that's like there and willing to guide you and not make you feel bad about the learning curve in the process. So I think having something that is so rules heavy at the front is a bit overdone. And again, things that I've seen change now with like newer things that are coming out where the mechanics of them are more simplified, mm-hmm. easy to learn and help new people like integrate into it. The sad part is that like those games don't get as much like traction or hype as something more established as like D&D.
Yeah, like it would also be nice. Like VTM does this a little bit, and we've seen other like we play like systems like Perils and Princesses that are pretty easy to read and pick up, or like the Before the Storm stream we did. But I like it when there is almost that sliding scale mechanically, where it's like there's a very rule simplified version that you could sit down, read through a page or two, and start playing. But then also, if you like things a little crunchier, or you want to try something different, or you have specific circumstances that come up that you have need for more mechanics, I like having the option to add like other enhanced mechanics, or like it's social mechanics, social combat mechanics in VTM, or the different like types of, you know, like bestial failures and things like that that have extra consequences. It's like, you don't have to play with that. You can totally leave it out and it's fine. But if you want to, because you feel like it makes the game overall more interesting, I like having that tool in the toolbox and it not being mandatory, if that makes sense. Because then you can mm-hmm. just sort of pick it up as you go, and you can really sit with the people you're running the game for in that moment and be like, okay, like, what are y'all into? Like, are you into things that have a little bit more crunch, or do we really just want to sit here and go to our collective mind palace for 5 hours? Because you can do either.
What about you? What do you think is overdone in the space?
It's definitely not as intricate and deep as you guys, for sure. no, God, what immediately jumps out to me? Little things like, I'm tired of the classic thief, fighter, mage trio setup. Mm-hmm. I guess a lot of my things are more tropes versus like the intricate details, like fantasy as a whole. I think when it comes to like game wise, how I even in terms of like envision gameplay is really just the amalgamation of like what the world is and what is actually like capable of like happening. So for me to go through that third line, I'm just like, that's like what's being built right now. But to just think about like just the tropes that I really just don't enjoy. Thief, fighter, mage, I just find uninteresting. The idea of mages, there's like this new wave of like, people hated the all-powerful mage, so there's like this cultural backlash to like mages essentially being slaves, or like mm-hmm. just being down, or like the dregs of society or having their rights stripped away. Like it became feared into this new trope of mages.
It feels weird for a lot of reasons.
Dragon Age.
I feel like just people, you know what I mean? Like the tranquil, I feel like people, there's like some confusion with writers of what metaphorical placement wizards were for in a fantasy realm. Cause like, none of this shit is like made in a vacuum. Like your favorite writer is inspired by some like real thing, you know? Like it's crazy to me to this day, people fight me tooth and nail when I say like, yeah, Harry Potter is about racism. Like that entire, but also mm-hmm. That entire series is just about racism. Like they literally have J.K. Rowling made up her own N-word. Like that still kind of sounds like the
yeah.
She thought she was slick. There's not one magical use for mud in that entire fucking book series, but there is a real life word for where she could have gotten that. I'm like, JK, you're not slick.
It makes more sense in retrospect though, like as it's aged, you're like, the writing was on the wall all along. But that's such a weird thing. Like, you why is there it's your world, like, but like, why does there have to be this word for it, and
knock to that though, like, it's learn racism in our own way, you know, totally. Sesame Street, whatever, you know.
Yeah, and it's like, there's a place I was watching a TikTok the other day about, like, it's a girl that she does like a lot of ACOTAR analysis, and they're talking about like real life racism in fantasy versus like fantastical racism in fantasy, and the difficulty of like, you kind of need to pick one or the other, because if you have like actual real life racial issues in your fantasy world, and you have other racial issues that are about like, these people have wings and these people don't, or these people are high fae and these people are lower fae, where it's like, especially if you're one, that's a lot to wrangle just from like a racial politics standing. And also, like, if you're a white lady who's not experienced being a minority and being subjugated anyway, like, you're probably,
like, maybe you're shooting not the person to voice that.
You're shooting yourself in the foot a little bit, because you're setting yourself up to do like this ultra hard mode of handling real life racism in a way that's informed, and your fantasy racism in a way that's informed. Like, at least with the fantasy racism, you made it all up, so like, you have more authority there. You have to be super careful when you start, because there's things like passing and how people talk about different groups, and like, characters internalize racism. It's like, we go down the rabbit hole real quick of shit you've got to address that often doesn't get addressed. And that's like, ooh, that's why something feels icky. Mm-hmm. Or it's just that undercurrent, like, ugh. And like, it's hard to do, but I think it's also important to think about when you're setting out to make a world.
Right. God, so sorry, my fault.
We told you to chase your truth with these rambles, and we meant that shit.
Yeah.
This has turned into an Uno reverse interview, and I'm into it, but I am aware of it.
No, you're good. I think, and I brought that up in terms of, God, we were talking about race. We were talking about tropes.
What you specifically felt was like overdone.
And I feel like when it comes to just when there is like the rare Black or African character within a fantasy setting, there's such a weird mutation of what is like an African culture, or what an African warrior would be. Aesthetic wise, there's always this idea that an African aesthetic has to be weird or some sort of unpleasing nature. I see it even with like Wagadu with his name. Like, to me, Wagadu does not sound like something that is like an aesthetically pleasing, like, African name that African would call something. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's something like a game, Wagadu sounds like somebody heard Wakanda and mutated and changed the words. And just because it sounds like that tinge of different, but not to bash on, people of color and their creations. I see it as just an inherent part of the Eurocentric lens that a lot of fantasy is just kept under. And like, you know, no shame to the readers and fans of it. I am too. Like, I love my fantasy. Trust. This had to stem from somewhere, but it just seems like there's always this like this weird sense of, I wish there was like, I gotta find like Google Scholar or something, like this weird sense of an aesthetic weirdness always perpetrated like African fantasy or African characters, like the witch doctor in Diablo 3.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just, when I think to myself, I'm like, if an African who enjoyed fantasy had the chance to design that witch doctor, would he look like a weird slope guy with his belly sticking out?
I'm no,
like,
no, 100%
no. If you told me to design a badass witch doctor that was good made by the players, I didn't know exactly how cool he would look. And that would still blend it true to life. Like, but what we got ended up with was some dude in like banana leaf skirt. Don't get me wrong, I played Diablo 3 to death, and I definitely brand that witch doctor. I called him one though.
Hell yeah. Listen, no hate to the man in a banana leaf skirt that's hunched over.
You know, I'm like,
it is like this extreme, like, tokenized version of like, I'm culturally aware and I'm going to include everybody and not have my cast have the same, you know, skin tone or orientation or culture or whatever. But you end up, because if that's something we're like, fair that you may not have access to it, or you may not know anyone that's from that culture, or but like you don't seek out the resources, then you do end up with this weird like characterized version of it that gets quite, as it iterates and as like you said, we the people build off each other, it gets more and more out in left field, and then it's like you look back and you're like, how did we get here?
Like, yeah. How, like it's also, yeah. I just feel like, especially for bigger companies like making video games or making movies, making games, etc., like you have the resources to go find people to give input and critique and review when like these things are being designed and created and written, and if you don't, that's just a disservice to what you're trying to like emulate, because there is always going to be like a registered tone difference there from when clearly someone from that culture was at least asked, if not the lead person designing it, versus someone not of that culture or that demographic being like, I'm just going to do some research and we'll go with it from there.
Yeah. Like I'll speak to one I can speak to personally. Like we've touched on, I can never remember the name of it, which is probably good, so we don't get in trouble, but it's a TTRPG about basically that has like a lot of mechanics around disability and mental health. Dude,
bro. It's bad.
I'm like, who in their right fucking mind thought half of this was okay? And like, no, we had it reviewed. And I'm like, could they read? Were they literate? Like, no, you did not. Like, not like, do not play in my face to that degree. You did not. And it's like, that's really unfortunate, because if you have people who kind of want it, stigmatizes that group more, and can spread more misinformation about like how that is like, and also there is a lot of weird discussions around like mechanizing ability status or race or something like that, where it's like, where's the line between like inclusion and then just making something, the correct word for it is escaping me, but it just, that feels a bit icky sometimes too. And that line is hard to walk. But it's like, damn, you gotta crowdsource that shit.
A little bit.
On the right side of it.
Do something at the very bare minimum.
Very bare minimum. Let's go. Sorry.
You're good.
I appreciate how in depth you guys are. Like, it's really cool. Like, I'm so new to the TTRPG space, so it's nice being part of a crowd that enjoys like long form content and like tells me to like, it's okay, Malumbo, you don't have to speak fast. Like it's very cool. It's very chill. It's a nice change of pace.
How long have you been like playing TTRPGs?
I got introduced to Dungeons. I always knew Dungeons and Dragons. I played my first session 2 years ago. I played a total. Like, I get the gist of it. Like, I feel like I've read so many Dungeons and Dragons adjacent things. Like, I read the Dragonlance novels when I was a kid. So like I didn't understand that. Because I was so confused. Like, when we played Dungeons and Dragons and there wasn't any Kender, I was like, what's going on here? Then I got the gist of like how people create their own settings and they're inspired. Like, it was cool, like learning, like knowing all these preferees of Dungeons and Dragons. And then like, literally as I said 2 years ago, I'm just like, oh, this is the thing that inspired like so many of like my childhood, like novels and books and all that stuff. And, like, so many things make sense now. Yeah, it was cool.
Well, you are most welcome to the community in general.
Yeah.
Let's go.
We've definitely like, especially, I mean, we've been playing now.
Are we going on 6 years?
Yeah, I think so. And then, of course, we started the podcast like back in June of last year. And it's like, it's become just a whole, it's taken over our entire lives at this point.
Truly, but
the one thing I do love, like, because we also got introduced with D&D. We mostly played D&D for the majority of that time. And then now that we're kind of entering the creator space, and also like we got to go to PAX U and like meet a bunch of other creators, we're now starting to like get introduced to other systems and enjoying them a ton. So it's really nice to kind of explore that, because it's always been interesting how we as a group kind of use D&D as like a skeleton for the kind of play that we enjoy. And then now that we are exploring other things, I'm like, oh, there's other systems out there that are definitely more geared, like already built for the kind of play that we like.
Mm-hmm. There's other scaffolding just that we would have to hack and slash at less to like make them work.
A lot less. Yeah. But now it's a really awesome like space to be into, because everybody's just generally like really welcoming and really collaborative. That was like another big reason why I wanted to reach out to you, because I know you're doing like a call to build out your team and your artists and your writers. And you know, we have a friend who has a TTRPG collective, which has been a really good resource for us too. For it's literally just a bunch of creators in there that
shout out Aaron, mom.
But it's really nice and refreshing to meet a lot of people that are not in this competitive mindset. And it is truly just like a space to help everybody build the thing that they enjoy, because then that means other people are going to get to enjoy it just the same way that you're making Zyru.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of collectives, been reached out to a lot of collectives. I guess it's a mass message to them. Super appreciated. I literally have accidentally crafted a whole cult of personality over this one idea already. So like trying to like manage two different groups sounds like chaos. Just sounds like chaos right now. So like I'm glad that help is always there for sure. But like, and it's not, and me not answering is not a diss to y'all. I appreciate the love. I appreciate you want to reach out. I'm just like, I'm juggling so much. I'm 28.
Yeah, like, I have my own flock of goslings that are following me around. I cannot.
you're completely good. Because fuck, especially once we started this, we were just like, cool. Literally all the free time we had in the world, gone.
Yeah. And then, and it's like we brought our editor on, and that's helped a lot. But then there's like 9 million other things to do as well. So we're like, okay, cool. Which they're all fun and we love it and it's great. But there's so many things like, please can I fix my brain chemistry so I can just start writing? Please, please brain.
Fire.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Awesome.
It was a good time.
Yeah. Well, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on, Malumbo, and giving us a little rundown about Zyru. Real quick before you go, just give us another rundown of who you are and where people can find you and where people can find more information on it.
Awesome. What's good, guys? Malumbo again. Thanks for enjoying my table talk at the Table Talk RPG podcast. It was a damn good time. Follow them on their socials. They're really cool girls. I am, let's see. Who am I? I'm Malumbo. You follow me on all my socials at @hey_Malumbo.
That's the casual existentialism in the outro.
Who am I? We can leave it in. We'll clip it. Yeah, follow me on all my socials. @hey_Malumbo. I am the African myth trap artist as well. I make music. Yeah.
Okay.
that's also cool. It's pop trap. But yeah, no, African myth, pan-African RPG. That's what you came here to listen to. If you want to follow for more updates, please join the Discord located at ho.b/Malumbo. All links are just on the link of my bio. Please go check that out. This was a great time. Thanks for having me on, guys. Kickstarter's coming soon, by the way. Oh, we just got Anya. Am I allowed to? I don't know. We got a very talented person to help with the Kickstarter, and we're super excited.
I think I know Anya.
Anya Combs?
Yeah, she's dope.
Yeah, she's super fire. That's got me really excited. First phase, we're doing the handbook. Our writing team's pretty much like almost all filled out. We're still halfway going through the art team. Table Talk Design is happening now, so big things are upcoming. But in the meantime, I'm just going to keep dropping videos and getting you guys hyped, because I talk faster than my people draw. So what are you going to do about it? Thank you, guys.
Awesome. Thank you. And thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
Table Talk is a podcast brought to you by Mythos Media Productions, bringing you a new episode every Wednesday, wherever you get your podcasts. Find us on Instagram and TikTok at TableTalkRPG, or check us out at our website, mythosmediaproductions.godaddysites.com. All business inquiries can reach out to us via email at info@mythosmediaproductions.com.